It takes a brave and independent mindset to go tiny. If you are trying to figure out your tiny pivot, this podcast is here to inspire and connect you with the other unconventional, gritty, inspirational people within this community. I am Laura Lynch, your tiny house friend and host. On this show, we are always going to come back to money because as a financial planner, this is the question I hear the most. How do I make this work for me financially? Well, that's my jam. So jump in. Let's go. New episodes drop every Thursday.
The great thing is when we do these together, we typically laugh a lot.
A little bit.
Which is...
Are we recording?
We're recording.
Okay. It's been a bit since we've been doing... I've been here to do this.
Yes. So I thought it would be good for us to take a less house, more moolah pause and reflect on our journey.
Okay.
And our progress, and just sort of let the listeners hear what it's been like, you know, for the two of us to be on this tiny transition journey. And what it's like from your perspective, because they hear me talking all the time, but you certainly have a different viewpoint. And so I thought it would be good for us to talk together.
Yeah.
So, Eric, we are 6 months as we record this from... We're going to pull the parachute ripcord and we're going to fly out of the American dream plane and we are going to land in some sort of tiny jungle together. So 6 months goes by really fast.
Yes, it does.
And we've been on this journey. Well, you remember when I put the 2.5 year calendar up on the wall in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That seemed like a
eternity.
And now here we're 6 months. So how are you processing things at this 6 month away?
I think, you know, the plan helps with the unknowns, right? So if you didn't have a plan, one, you probably wouldn't ever accomplish the goal. And two, at least on the front end, you probably have gone through your mind about all the difficult transitions and difficult steps that you're going to have to go through. And then maybe along the way, it's not as bad because you've already, you know, stressed about it on the front end. I think for us, though, for me at least, you know, nobody likes to leave their little comfort zone. And the way that we or you have, you know, figured out how to do this, you can still kind of stay within some sort of, you know, acceptable boundaries that at some point in time you think, well, I'm still going to be comfortable with whatever that is, you know, being able to hang on to something, or maybe you get more comfortable with having to get rid of something else, or you've thought about it long enough, 2.5 years out, that once it happens, you're like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. And, you know, the whole goal in this is reducing our stress, right? We don't want to create any more stress for ourselves. We don't want to create any more stress in our relationship. And just sort of things shift and change a little bit in the plan. But ultimately, if you can get there within some sort of comfort zone, then you're doing okay.
And would you say those comfort zone boundaries that you're talking about are those things that align with your particular personal values?
Sure. Sure, absolutely. Where you think, you know, my life is going to change on this end, my current life is going to change, but not as much, or it's, you know, I can continue to do X, Y, and Z. And then plus there's all the added benefits of all the things that you're going to be able to do that maybe you couldn't before, which is the whole reason you're going tiny or moving or whatever difficult transition you're going through in life.
So do you feel like in our transition that we've cut out some of the chaff, like the stuff that you didn't care about in life? So knowing your story and the fact that you have lived in sort of a multifunctional, smaller living space in the past, and that building a house was never a top priority for you, do you feel like that we're cutting out the low priority items in order to focus on the high priority items in your life?
Yeah, sure. I mean, a huge trade-off is, you know, maybe the square footage of your living room versus how hard you have to go out and grind away all week long to pay for it, right? So maybe you don't need the huge living room, and then maybe you don't have to work as hard or push as hard or drive as hard to, you know, to pay for it. And, you know, if you do a cost analysis versus, you know, what you get back from that, I don't know that people necessarily do that or even think that there's an option to do that, you know. But I'm at the point where if I had to work 40 hours a week, you know, for 15 more years or whatever, I would give up a lot of things for my current, you know, the currently where we are, where I don't have to do that.
Yeah. So what else do you think that we're getting rid of that's not important to you? The big living room?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the Less House, More Moolah podcast. So along with the house, you know, there's personal possessions that you got to decide whether or not they're important to you or valuable enough to, you know, haul across the country and find a place to put them and if you're going to use them and what value you get out of that. But I mean, you have to think beyond the square footage of your life and think about time. And, you know, when someone's on their deathbed, I don't think they ever say, well, God, I wish I would have had a bigger house or, you know, time.
What about the status piece? I mean, we're definitely, you know, maybe some of this, you know, square footage that we're about to put on the market was partly about feeling like we were keeping up with everybody else at our age or what have you. And now we're sort of kicking that sort of signaling out the window. And mm-hmm. we're saying we're going to live in a small space, and our friends that may have, you know, $1 million homes in northern New Mexico, and yet we're going to continue to live in 300 square feet. And so are we kicking our status signaling? Are we cutting that out in order to buy ourselves more time freedom?
You know, maybe there was a time where I felt that was a deal where somebody said, hey, you know, how many square foot is your house? Or people talked about that. I think the older you get or you get to a point where that signal status thing just doesn't matter anymore. And I don't for one second feel bad about it. I do get asked a lot. So, you know, when are you guys going to build like a permanent house on the property? And my response to that is, I think this is our permanent house. If we need something bigger, you know, we could do that, but only if we really need it. And I'm sure we would go through a lot of analysis about that if more space was needed.
So let's go back in your mind to the 30-month project plan and the big calendar on the wall. Did you, when you first saw that 30-month plan, did you think this is Looney Tunes? What did you think about that whole 30-month project plan?
Yeah, I did think it was Looney Tunes. I'm not a planner, but there's a lot of value in good planning for sure. We would not be 6 months out and have accomplished all the little pieces that had to get done, you know, to get us to this point, and a plan to, you know, get us there in the next 6 months without a plan. So it does seem a little crazy, but I think you have to do it. And if you're not a planner, then you have to get somebody who can plan for you and sort of like hold you accountable to the plan.
Yeah. And now that calendar has been disappeared because the house has just been photographed to go on the market. And frankly, the calendar has run out of months. And now we're just sort of at the end stages of execution. And we kind of know what needs to happen from here. We're also at the end stages of our, you know, liquidation of the house and the land and the things that we owned that is creating our sort of financial security for ourselves. How are you feeling at this moment of where we're stepping away from a $400,000 mortgage to a zero debt position?
Yeah. So that is definitely a freeing feeling, knowing that you don't have this, you know, huge burden hanging over you. You know, we've only been in this house for 5 years, so there'd be 25 years remaining on that mortgage. Oh, and I just don't see any way that that would make sense. I think even if we were to stay here and we could pay off this mortgage, it would just eat up enough of our financial resources where we would still feel a little maybe trapped. So freeing is how you feel when you can move into a place and have just less of a financial burden, freeing to do other things.
Yeah. I think that we've actually, because we've been on this path for so long, that we may have just gotten kind of normalized to what the future of our life looks like. And so maybe we won't ever have a, you know, jumping out of the cake moment where it's like this big emotional, I think we've been feeling it coming over time. And that's the thing with being human, is that we feel positive things only to a tenth of the degree that we feel negative things. And so when we do make big progress and accomplish big goals in life, you never feel them as acutely as you might like to feel them.
Yeah, for sure.
So how do you think we will sort of ritualize or celebrate this major rebellious act of breaking free of all of the traps that we have from the, you know, big house and big mortgage and working 40 hours a week until we're, you know, 70 years old? How do you think how can you and I make it a big deal for ourselves? Because our brains aren't gonna register.
I think we could just sit on our deck and drink iced tea. I mean, we have not suffered with heavy credit card payments or huge car payments. We've never had, you know, bill collectors after us. So, you know, we've been pretty smart about things that have led up to this point. And, you know, this is just the biggest step where it all kind of comes together, being financially responsible. And we've been, you know, very, very fortunate with the Florida, you know, real estate market has really been in our favor.
Sure. So part of this is about a big geographic change in which you're moving away from family, and even Garrett, your son, is likely moving away from family, and that is a huge change. How do you think that all of that is playing out, and how do you feel about that as a parent?
I went through a similar situation moving to Florida when I was, you know, 21 years old. But I think we're doing it in the best way possible, making the pros and cons known. And, you know, even my dad today being his 76th birthday was fully understands why we would leave Florida at this point in time to sort of, you know, put our lives on a more secure track. My dad, you know, I just always remember, you know, no mortgage is the best mortgage. I mean, those were like words I grew up hearing him say over and over and over again as he did whatever he had to do to get out from underneath that mortgage trap by building his own houses. So he always used to say, you know, 0% is the best percent on a, you know, on debt. So he gets it. Mm-hmm. You know, some people understand.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're pretty comfortable from just major change for everybody's lives.
Yeah. Well, I've had 2.5 years to think about it.
Yes, for sure. So earlier you mentioned, you know, reducing stress and stress in our relationship. How have you processed the effect of this change on me and on our relationship?
Well, I think that anytime you can accomplish a goal, you know, in a partnership with two people, you're on the same page, right? You have to be. And for that to happen for us at our age with this big of a change, and, you know, things are happening. You know, we've been checking boxes at, you know, you get all bright eyed and excited, and, you know, that makes me happy.
What about what you've seen as far as my career transition?
Yeah, that's been a big one because, you know, instead of you complaining about the traffic and the drive and the people and the office and the this and the that, you've got your, you know, slower mornings on the porch with the dogs and the coffee where you're just like a calmer and gentler and happier person. And that's good to see.
Mm-hmm. And none of that would have been possible if we hadn't decided to do.
Yeah, we'd still be, you know, everybody I think expects that they're going to work full time till they're 67 and a half years old or some crazy number. And I would sacrifice a lot to not have to do that.
Yeah. And do you feel like you are sacrificing?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, maybe the square footage, but really, what is that as far as a sacrifice goes compared to what you gain?
Mm-hmm. And what are you gaining?
Freedom, the geography, and what it allows me to do and align with what I want to do going forward. It just so happens that we're moving to an area with like probably a lower cost of living than when we're at Florida. But just peace and tranquility.
What about climate and opportunities to do things that you want to do?
Yeah. Well, that all goes with the geography. You know, it just depends on what your interests and hobbies and likes are. And, you know, even if you live in the ideal place, if you're working 40 hours a week, you still can't do those things. So it, you know, it has to happen. You know, some people say they have time or money, but you never have both. I think we're at a place where we'll have both.
Wow. So I think that it's worth pointing out that this hasn't been always a smooth road for us.
Sure.
And that there have definitely been logistical challenges for sure and hoops that we've had to jump through. But even more than that, there have been just, you know, moments where we have reassessed, like, what are we doing? Where are we going? And we have kind of come back and questioned ourselves over time. Do you think that the questioning and the challenges that we've gone through have helped make this entire plan feel more viable, concrete, normalized to us by always having the tough questions? Do you think that that's helped us?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like a check and balance system. So you get to realize, if you ask yourself enough, you know, am I making just a crazy rash decision that, you know, doesn't make sense? But if you, you know, if you keep readdressing the same question and you keep coming up with the same answer, then it's just reaffirming that, you know, hey, this is probably the right choice.
Yeah, because we've changed our plan, you know, a couple different times and then come back to the same conclusion a couple mm-hmm. different times.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've had, as we always do, process differences of opinion about, you know, how to get things done. Do you think that we have gotten better at maneuvering together through the 30 months that we've been working on this? This is the largest, well, I guess not, because we've been working on this house for 5 years, but it was a pretty big logistical piece to get two different businesses changed, mm-hmm. to get three different properties sold, and to get all of your heavy equipment moved and have a place to put those important things. So have we gotten better at co-piloting the ship?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've had successes and that builds trust and, you know, renews the faith in the plan.
So this episode is headed out at the very tail end of the year, or just maybe at the beginning of 2024. Mm-hmm. What are you grateful for in this moment?
I'm grateful for 10 years of marriage to you. It's our 10-year wedding anniversary. And being with someone who is different than you. You have strengths that I don't have, and I have strengths that you don't have. And together, I'm grateful that we team up and can accomplish anything we set our minds to.
Yes, I am grateful that there are more good days than bad.
By far.
And life is never, we have this sort of idealism around happiness. Maybe this is an American thing or what have you. And yet we know from behavioral psychology that we are wired to attach to negativity. Uh-huh. And so it seems very frictional that we are so focused on being happy all the time, but our brain pays the most attention to negativity. Sure. And so to be able to notice that you have more good days than bad is a huge accomplishment and a huge testament to making little progress in the direction that you want to go. Change is just micro actions repeated over and over again. Nobody ever wakes up tomorrow and, you know, suddenly loses 25 pounds or suddenly meditates perfectly every day or any of those things, right? Everything about change is those little micro actions. And we have taken our change little micro action at a time. And that's what the planning really did for us, is it allowed us to plan out those little micro actions, just like building the tiny house was just little chunks every, you know, every week, little bits of progress. And so we've done all those little things, and now we're at this precipice of not happily ever after, right? Because that doesn't exist, but happier more often.
Sure.
And that is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and to have the time to notice.
Yeah.
Notice the world around you. Notice the environment you're in. Notice the sun and the stars and the moon. And, you know, because the quote unquote American dream doesn't allow much time for much of that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing your heart to this podcast today. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm honored that you listened to this episode of Less House, More Moolah. I hope something in it will help you continue to move toward a life aligned with your values. Every algorithm out there is trying to tell us what to prioritize, but we get to choose. If you haven't ever identified your key values, I have a free resource on my website to help you. Just have to go to thetinyhouseadvisor.com. It's thetinyhouseadvisor.com. At the bottom of the page, you can grab the Tiny Life Values Worksheet. When we design a life around what is our core truth, we shortcut to deep fulfillment. See you next Thursday.
Please see the show notes for important disclosure regarding the Tiny House Advisor LLC and this episode.